Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Brian Artis. This is the Dr. Artis Show, and this is an entire podcast titled Simple Steps to Preventing Cancer. And I'm very excited to do this because just a few weeks ago, it was announced in the mainstream media. This was being recorded in March of 2026. It was just announced that colorectal cancer is now the fastest growing and responsible for more deaths of young adults than any other cancer. So as COVID-19, in the wake of COVID-19, the last several years, you're seeing skyrocketing rates of almost every cancer on earth. As you've seen the introduction of GLP-1 hormone drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy, you're seeing a landslide, record-setting lawsuits against Novo Nordisk, $2 billion worth to be exact, of blindness, cancers being actually diagnosed in those using those drugs, of which the number one black box warning provided by the FDA about Ozempic and Wegovy and these GLP-1 drugs is medullary thyroid cancer within 12 to 36 months. So I'm not sure what you expected, but if you didn't read the package insert, they told you you can expect a lump in your throat, many of you, and you will be diagnosed with thyroid cancer. So as cancers are on the rise and there's chemicals being sprayed in the air, water, food, you name it, these are simple steps you can take. Even if you are personally or someone you know is conventionally being treated for cancer with chemotherapy, radiation, cisplatin, any of these chemotherapy drugs, you should watch this presentation because there are several things I'm about to show you in medical research studies that show evidence, medical proof that when you add a nutrient or a chelator to the conventional drug treatments right now, you're ability to beat cancer, shrink your tumors, skyrockets, and your survivability. So please pay attention to this. The things I'm about to share with you are ways you can simply prevent the risk of getting cancer. But if you're being treated for cancer and are wanting to overcome cancer and survive cancer, this is for you. You should be adding these steps to your current treatment. And if your oncologist doesn't know about this information I'm about to share with you, go to the resources tab at the Dr. Artis Show, download this PowerPoint, print it out, take it to him or her, or email it to them, him or her, and put it into your file, and then make sure it's a part of your discussion for your further treatment for your cancer. Because you'll be blown away with what I've been blown away with as we learned what are truly ways to advance treatment of cancer and prevent cancer. So let's dive in. God bless you all. I hope you're all having a great week. And wherever you are, I hope you're having a great day. So may you enjoy this presentation. If you're just listening, pay attention while you're driving or while you're running. Don't be too shocked about what we're about to share. So let's dive in. Cancer prevention, simple steps. I'm just going to blow up the screen a little bit bigger for me so I can read it. All right. Scan the QR code if you are new to the Dr. Artis Show and you would like to get alerts each week. We do one podcast a week on a specific health topic, and I will be showing and telling all things known to medical science and research are ways to improve your health, which is the whole purpose of the show, whether it's spiritual, emotional, or physical. Now, in the first half of this presentation, we're going to be defining various types of cancers, what it is you need to know about cancer, the types of different cancers, and to set the stage for what it is you need to know later on in this broadcast. All right, this is the NIH, National Cancer Institute. What is cancer by definition? It is a disease in which some of the body's cells grow uncontrollably and spread to other parts of the body. Cancer can start almost anywhere in the human body, which is made up of trillions of cells. Normally, human cells grow and multiply through a process called cell division to form new cells as the body needs them. When cells grow old or become damaged, they die. Then new cells take their place. Sometimes this orderly process breaks down and abnormal or damaged cells grow and multiply when they shouldn't. These cells may form tumors, which are lumps of tissue. Cancerous tumors spread into or invade nearby tissues and can travel to distant places in the body to form new tumors, a process called metastasis. Cancerous tumors may also be called malignant tumors. Many cancers form a solid tumor, but cancers of the blood, such as leukemias, generally do not. How does cancer form? Well, there's just a visual here. normal cells, what they look like on the skin's surface. That's epidermal tissue you're looking at there, like the surface of your skin and organs. And then you see what cancer cells look like in a drawing. Which I don't know if you've ever asked yourself this, but when you go into any medical research, any medical presentations of any kind or textbooks, almost everything is CGI or drawings. That should make you wonder just how accurate is all this information. Like, for real? Is that what it looks like? For real? Is that why do we have to have drawings? There's still no pictures? Like real pictures. No, most of it's CGI developed. Everything, even images of the coronavirus, were CGI. How does cancer develop? Oh, well, before I get started here, I'm going to highlight a few things at the end of this list. All right, so this is per cancer.gov. Cancer is a genetic disease. No, it isn't. That is, it is caused by changes to genes that control the way our cells function. That could be true, but you didn't inherit it, especially how they grow and divide. Genetic changes that cause cancer can happen because of errors that occur as cells divide. Okay, well, your body knows how to take care of those. Your body produces what are called T cells, B cells, and macrophages that kill those types of cells. All right, so that's a normal process, and the body knows how to defend it. Second cause of cancer, damage to DNA caused by harmful substances in the environment. Absolutely, such as the chemicals in tobacco smoke and ultraviolet rays from the sun. Hold up, let's stay there. Chemicals in tobacco smoke. There are 599 man-made chemicals the FDA has on a list that are allowed to be added to every tobacco product commercially sold. So it is not just tobacco. There's 599 chemicals added to tobacco products that can cause cancer. Okay, so it's not tobacco. It's not just their smoke. No, it's the arsenic in those tobacco products. That's a known carcinogen and other chemicals. All right, and then the sun. I don't know if you guys still believe that. Man, back in the 90s, they already started relaying, even in the mainstream media news, that sunscreens have chemicals that increase your risk of skin cancer. It wasn't the sun. All right. Also, we're all going to stick with the substances in the environment, though. Let's talk about substances in the environment. Let's not talk about chemtrails that they're spraying in the skies, which is aluminum oxide, barium, strontium. Let's not talk about what we've already figured out. Let's not talk about fluoride in the water, which we know is a neurotoxin. Let's not talk about vaccines. No, let's not talk about that. No. In the environment. Let's not talk about glyphosate that is already known to cause cancer. Just 90% of all farmland in America has that toxic cancer-causing chemical in our soil, now in our food supply. No, let's not talk about that. No, we're not talking about those. Let's talk about substances in the environment. Okay, let's just talk about two. I just got back from England doing 6-part presentations for the Good Food Project's health convention there in Manchester, England. And I spent a 1-hour presentation walking the audiences there through two harmful substances that are in your environment. The environment, by the way, happens to be a very sterile environment. It happens to be in every pharmacy around the world. So picture Rite Aid, CVS, Walgreens, Walmart pharmacy, Target pharmacy, in your pharmacies, which those pharmacies are in your environment, are just two types of drugs, which are the number one prescribed drugs out of those pharmacies in your environment. Atorvastatin, which is Lipitor. The third most sold drug in America is levothyroxine. It happens to be the fifth most sold drug in the UK. So atorvastatin, Lipitor is number one in the UK also, number one in the United States, in every one of the pharmacies in your environment. Lipitor, atorvastatin, and levothyroxine, the first and third most sold drugs, prescribed drugs, which are substances harmful in your environment, being told that you should swallow every day, are published known cancer-causing chemicals. But notice that's not on this list. Look at the third bullet point. They were inherited from our parents. Okay. The number one sold drug in America is atorvastatin, which is Lipitor, a known cancer-causing agent. Number third sold drug in America is levothyroxine, known to increase all causes of cancer, known to increase the mortality the death rate of every female who develops cancer. Yeah, there you go. The third most sold drug in America, the fifth most sold in the UK. But they don't tell you that here. Imagine that. Imagine the government, cancer.gov, which is where this information comes from, not telling you that drugs are harmful substances in your environment that you even pay for. You actually pay to poison yourself to develop cancer. Well, for all of you who were moved emotionally like I was when I watched Forrest Gump years ago and his mama developed cancer. Do you remember he got a phone call while on his shrimp boat and Lieutenant Dan told him his mama was sick? Remember that? He jumps off the boat and swims to shore only to find out she's got cancer. Now, this is programming, by the way, all of you. For all of you who have been shaken since Forrest Gump, you watched him cry at his mom's burial because she had cancer. Now, all of you afraid to death to develop cancer because your whole family is going to be distraught like Forrest left in its wake. You might want to stop swallowing the crap that causes cancer and is known to cause cancer. You might want to stop. That might be helpful. Stop blaming it on your parents and all your genetics. It's ridiculous. Go read Bruce Lipton's book, Biology of Belief, and let all that crap go about inheriting genes. And any of you still blaming genes, I think you should probably wake up and start studying epigenetics. It's been around a long time. How you can switch the genes on you inherited and how you can switch them off so you don't get the terrible illnesses they say you will. There's a way to control even your genetic expressions. It's called epigenetics. All right, types of cancers. Let's dive into those. Enough of that. Stop swallowing stuff they know causes cancer. Oh, GLP-1 drugs. I just mentioned earlier, the black box warning by the FDA says anybody on these drugs increases their risk of developing thyroid cancer within 12 to 36 months. Okay. Are you really scared of cancer or do you just want cancer? Are you wanting to be a victim? There's lots of people in this world that like being victims. Maybe you're one of them. If you want to be a victim, you want to be able to complain about having cancer and losing your hair under chemotherapy and radiation, go get Ozempic. Go get Lipitor. Get on those things. Go get levothyroxine. In fact, there's three of them there. You can go join I have cancer support group. Then you'll find friends. Victims are not who we want here at the Dr. Artist Show. We want people enlightened, awakened, and those who are proactive at protecting their family members, loved ones, and their children, and are brave enough to educate them on this crap. Types of cancer. There are more than 100 types of cancer. Types of cancer are usually named for the organs or tissues where the cancers form. For example, lung cancer starts in the lung, and brain cancer starts in the brain. Cancers also may be described as by the type of cell that formed them, such as an epithelial cell or a squamous cell. Carcinoma, a word you've all heard, I've heard. Carcinomas are the most common type of cancer. They are formed by epithelial cells, which are the cells that cover the inside and outside surfaces of the body. Adenocarcinoma is a cancer that forms in epithelial cells that produce fluids or mucus on the inside of your nose, mouth. Tissues with this type of epithelial cells are sometimes called glandular cells. Most cancers of the breast, colon, and prostate are adenocarcinomas. Basal cell carcinoma is a cancer that begins in the lower basal layer of the epidermis, which is a person's outer layer of skin. Squamous cell carcinoma is a cancer that forms in squamous cells, which are epithelial cells that lie just beneath the outer surface of your skin, so just below your skin. Squamous cells also line many other organs, including the stomach, intestines, lungs, bladder, and kidneys. Transitional cell carcinoma is a cancer that forms in a type of epithelial tissue called transitional epithelium or urothelium. This tissue, which is made up of many layers of epithelial cells that can get bigger and smaller, is found in the linings of the bladder, ureters, and part of the kidneys, renal and pelvis, and a few other organs. Now, some of you may have loved ones or you yourself are diagnosed with what's called sarcomas. These are cancers that form in bone and soft tissues, including muscle, fat, blood vessels, lymph vessels, and fibrous tissue, such as tendons and ligaments. Osteosarcoma, osteo is Latin for bone, is the most common cancer of bone. The most common types of soft tissue sarcoma are leiomyosarcoma, Kaposi sarcoma, malignant fibrous histiocytoma, liposarcoma, lipo meaning fat, and dermatofibrosarcoma, dermato being your skin, protuberance. Leukemia, Cancers that begin in the blood-forming tissue of the bone marrow. All of your blood cells are made in your bone marrow. These bone cancers in the bone marrow are called leukemias. These cancers do not form solid tumors. Instead, large numbers of abnormal white blood cells, leukemia cells, and leukemic blast cells, they build up in the blood and bone marrow, crowding out normal blood cells. Now, you've heard about lymphomas, like Hodgkin's, non-Hodgkin's. Lymphoma is a cancer that begins in lymphocytes, lymph nodes, typically T cells or B cells. These are disease-fighting white blood cells that are part of the immune system. I mentioned already earlier in this recording that T cells and B cells and macrophages are white blood cells your body makes, immune cells that actually eat cancer cells as they're dividing and being weird, not normal. The body recognizes that, and they send those killer cells. They also fight off infections. Brain and spinal cord tumors. There are different types of brain and spinal cord tumors. These tumors are named based on the type of cell in which they formed and where the tumor first formed in the central nervous system, such as a glioblastoma. Melanoma is a cancer that begins in cells that become melanocytes, which are specialized cells that make melanin, the pigment that gives skin its color and your hair its color. Melanin. So melanoma is in melanocytes, those cells in the skin that give you your color and skin tone. Me and my Scottish-Irish skin tone, that's melanocytes. Multiple myeloma, which has touched my own personal family in the past. Multiple myeloma is cancer that begins in plasma cells, another type of immune cell. The abnormal plasma cells, called myeloma cells, build up in the bone marrow and form tumors in bones all throughout the body. Multiple myeloma is also called plasma cell myeloma and Kahler disease or Kahler disease. Back to the National Cancer Institute, which is a division of the National Institutes of Health, cancer stat facts, common cancer sites. So if you look at this, new cases of cancer in 2025, they show you with a blue pie chart, with different colors, that 16% of all new cases of cancer last year were actually breast cancer. Now, I want to stay there for just a second. Of all the oncologists around the world that we directly communicate with, they've all stated that those that get on the GLP-1 drugs like Ozempic, Wegovy, Byetta, Trulicity, Majorna, Zepbound, it's not thyroid cancer they are seeing in these people after starting those drugs. It's actually an exploding, exponentially rising amount of people after starting those drugs develop breast cancer, male and female, which coincides with what you're seeing here. Of those that are defined on the pie graph, you'll see the 16% is the highest of the new cases. The 50% in the light blue, you will see, they say it's other. So it's just a combination of all a whole bunch of other ones that are smaller amounts than the 8% you see on there, which is colorectal cancers. So in 2025, 15% of all new cases were prostate cancer, which is the second highest behind breast cancer. And then 11% were lung and bronchial cancers. And then the blue, or purple, sorry, is the 8% is colon or colorectal cancers. Now, the next pie graph on the same actual document or article is who died of which cancers in 2025 the most. So 20% of all people that died from cancers died from lung cancers, which was the highest defined amount. Now you see in blue, light blue, you'll see it's 56% of those died. That's just a combination of all the other 200 cancers or 100 cancers that they have defined. The second highest declared cause of death in 2025 was from colon cancers. The third was 8% of all deaths were pancreas cancers. And then only 7% was breast cancer. So even though breast cancer was the number one new cases last year, with 16% of all new cases, it was actually the lowest in that group we just showed you that actually led to death. All right, so this is Healthline Magazine. I just want to show, this is an article titled Curing Cancer, Newer Treatments to Keep an Eye on. I just want to show you what they state here on Healthline Magazine. While there currently isn't a cure for cancer, and I just need to stay there, okay? So I don't know about you, but if you had a car that broke down and you needed your car fixed, something's wrong with your car, you have cancer, you're a car, something's wrong with your car, you know something's wrong. Something feels wrong, something rides wrong, something sounds wrong. Could you imagine going to a mechanic who says, we don't know how to fix cars, or we don't know how to fix your problem with your car, but you should still come pay us and see us and let us guess what we're going to do to it? Okay, I just want you to They still admit, the medical profession, there are currently no cures for cancer. Would you still take your car to a mechanic who says, we don't know how to fix your car, and still have never figured it out? All right. So anyway, stay there because this is going to get fun when I show you how much money the last 15 years has been donated to only the American Cancer Society, whose literal mission statement says, for the last 100 plus years, we are going to receive donations to fund research to cure the world of cancer. Over 100 years, they still haven't figured it out. But I'm going to show you here in a minute, just in the last 15 years, how much money went to that one cancer organization called the American Cancer Society. Just one. How much money has been donated to that group in just the last 15 years to still publish, we don't have a cure for cancer, even though that is their mission statement. For the last 100 plus years, they still haven't figured it out. Okay, you should be disgusted as I am. So how do they treat these uncurable cancers? Well, per the National Cancer Institute, these are the types of cancers and their treatments. Chemotherapy, immunotherapy, cancer surgery, radiation therapy are the most commonly used. Blood stem cell transplants are on the list. Targeted therapy, photodynamic therapy, hyperthermia, lots of heat. This is the American Cancer Society. Let's talk about these four we just highlighted on the screen previous. Chemotherapy, immunotherapy, cancer surgery, radiation therapy are the top of the list. These are the top most common four you will experience for any of your loved ones or yourself once diagnosed with cancer and going the conventional medical route. All right, so everybody out there, just want you to know, the medical profession, for any of you out there that thinks they can cure cancer, do you know how they define cure, cancer cured? Or a successful cancer being treated? If you live 5 years to the day from being diagnosed. So if you die at 5 years, 1 day, you were cured of cancer. You were a success case. All right, well, at least 5 years is better than, I guess, whatever they're going to lie to you about and say you only have 6 months, 2 months, 3 months, 5 months, whatever it is. And I'm not downplaying how scary it is for a person in a white coat to look at you and go, you're going to be dead in 6 months if you don't do what we say. Yeah, it's scary. Yeah, I remember I mentioned earlier, you should probably read the book, The Biology of Belief. Because if you believe what they say, your body will absolutely start breaking down the way they said and the way you believed. All right, here's chemotherapy side effects. Chemotherapy, if this is what you decide to do, this is per the American Cancer Society, not the Dr. Artist Show, even though you're watching the Dr. Artist Show. Chemotherapy treats many types of cancers effectively, but like other cancer treatments, it often causes side effects. It is important to be aware of possible side effects from chemo. Why does chemo cause side effects? Because it's a poisonous chemical, that's why. And just to stay here for a second, everybody, chemotherapy is a super deadly toxin. You have trillions of natural healthy cells in your body, and you might have millions or billions, which is less than trillions, of cancer cells in your body. So what they're doing with chemotherapy is they're putting into your body a toxic, deadly poison that will kill any kinds of cells, healthy, diseased, infected, or cancerous. It'll kill them all. But you have trillions of healthy cells, even when you have cancer. But when they find a little mass or a tumor or metastatic lymph node chain full of whatever they call cancer, there you have millions, billions maybe, of cancer cells. But you still have trillions of healthier cells. All right, so when you take the poison for no matter how long, they know the poison's going to kill everything the poison touches. It's going to kill healthy cells. It's going to kill cancer cells. What they're hoping is they only kill enough of your healthy cells at the same rate they're killing cancer cells. And because you have more healthy cells than you have cancer cells, they're hoping they can take you off the chemotherapy when all the cancer cells are killed off or enough of them are dead, that then they can take you off of chemo and there's enough of your healthy left trillions of cells that you can continue to live. That is all chemotherapy is. poison the whole body, but there's trillions of healthy cells, millions or billions of cancer cells, which is much less than trillions of healthy cells. Much less. And they're hoping they don't kill all of your healthy cells. But for many of you, still the number one cause of cancer's deaths is chemotherapy side effects. So that is what chemo is. So cancer cells grow fast and chemo kills fast growing cells. But because chemo travels throughout the entire body, it can affect normal healthy cells that are fast growing too. Damage to healthy cells causes side effects. Of course it does. You ever seen a healthy rat and given that healthy rat arsenic poisoning and your rat poisoning? Yeah, it will eventually kill all the cells in that rat if he eats enough of it. The normal cells most likely to be damaged by chemo are blood-forming cells in the bone marrow. Okay, so your immune cells, your red blood cells, your white blood cells are all made in the bone marrow. Chemotherapy destroys that. Hair follicles. Yep, those are going to die off. Those are healthy cells that now die from the poisons of chemo, and you're going to lose your hair. Cells in the mouth, digestive tract, and reproductive system. Yeah, ask anybody who's been on chemo how that affects their mouth, nose, eyes, reproductive organs. How long do chemo side effects last? As long as you're putting them in your body. Many side effects are short-term. They go away fairly quickly after a chemo cycle, or they might last for as long as you are in treatment. But some might be long-term or chronic side effects. They start during treatment, but continue even after treatment is over, sometimes lasting for months or years. Why? Because you just killed billions, if not trillions, of healthy cells. And it's a poison. Sometimes the side effects can last a lifetime, such as when chemo causes long-term damage to the heart, lungs, kidneys, or reproductive organs. Now that you know that, and this is on cancer.org's website, now that you know chemotherapy is a drug that can cause permanent, lifelong side effects of damage to your heart, lungs, kidneys, or reproductive organs, you can no longer allow a cardiologist to tell you post-cancer treatment or survival that your heart disease is inherited by your parents. No. Chemotherapy can cause long-term damage. It ain't just genetics. It's poisons, harmful substances in your environment. Yeah, that you got from your medical doctor who injected those harmful substances in your environment into your veins or had you swallow them. Now, for all of you out there who have loved ones who've been on chemotherapy, overcame their cancer, and they're still alive, oh my God, what a blessing. But they all dealt with side effects. And it's very important, I believe, that all people have enough information about what's about to happen to them. And maybe this is just educational for you. Maybe you're considering chemotherapy and you might just want to know this crap's about to happen to you. What are common side effects of chemo? Here they are. Here's your list. Chronic fatigue, hair loss, thrombocytopenia, low platelet count, neutropenia, low white blood cell count, increased risk of all infections because they're destroying your immune system by destroying your bone marrow's ability to produce white blood cells, which are your immune system, nausea and vomiting, appetite changes, constipation, diarrhea, mouth sores, peripheral neuropathy, skin and nail changes, such as rashes, dry skin and color changes, bowel or bladder incontinence, weight changes, chemo brain, anxiety, depression, changes in libido and sexual function, infertility problems. Now, for everybody out there listening, if you have a loved one who has lupus or an autoimmune disease and is on methotrexate, methotrexate is chemotherapy. So this applies to all of you. If you're on methotrexate, methotrexate is chemotherapy. And if you now suffer with any of these conditions and they tell you it's because of lupus, fibromyalgia, Sjogren's, you name it, the autoimmune disease, rheumatoid arthritis, these are symptoms of rheumatoid arthritis. Just ask yourself, did it start after methotrexate, which is chemotherapy? And if it did, it's actually not caused by the disease. It's being caused by the substances in your environment now being put into your body that are known to cause these side effects. And I repeat, there are no such things as side effects to drugs. There are only effects. This is the Canadian Cancer Society. They have their own list of side effects of chemo. You'll see them there on the right. Low blood cell counts increase the risk of infection, a low platelet count, thrombocytopenia, low red blood cell count, leading to anemia, creating fatigue. Low blood cell counts are a serious side effect of chemotherapy. Also, organ and nerve damage. which they list here, the most common organs to now develop diseases from chemotherapy. Damage to your heart, lungs, liver, kidneys, bladder, female sex organs, and male sex organs. Chemotherapy can also affect the nervous system and cause nerve damage, including peripheral nerve damage. Neuropathy, anybody? Blood clots are a side effect of chemotherapy. A thrombus is what they call it. It's a collection of blood inside a vein or artery that can block the flow of blood. A blood clot can cause a heart attack if it's in the heart, or a stroke if it blocks a blood vessel in the brain. The chemotherapy drug cisplatin can increase the risk of blood clots. Blood clots can also form when a central venous catheter, such as a PICC line, is used to deliver chemotherapy drugs into your body. Also, per the Cancer Society of Canada, memory, attention, and other cognitive problems. Chemotherapy may cause problems with memory, attention, or problem solving. This is sometimes called chemo brain or chemo fog. High doses of chemo fog, chemotherapy, given over a long time, are more likely to cause cognitive problems. These may go away after chemotherapy is finished, but they sometimes last for a long time or can be permanent. Permanent brain damage, anybody? Maybe that's better than having cancer. Second cancers. A second cancer is another cancer that has started in the body of someone who has already been diagnosed with cancer. It's a side effect of chemotherapy, by the way. Can you imagine being told you have metastatic cancer after being started to be treated for cancer with chemo, only to find out now on the Dr. Artie Show that a second cancer is a known side effect of chemotherapy. It is not related to the first cancer that was diagnosed. It may develop in the same organ or in a different place in the body. So more cancer, anybody? Ask your doctor if a second cancer is a risk factor for you if they give you chemotherapy. And if they go, we've never heard of that here in America, go, well, they know about it in cancer or in Canada, and they publish it. Second cancers can be caused by cancer treatment. I repeat, second cancers can be caused by cancer treatment, including chemotherapy. People who receive both chemotherapy and radiation therapy have the highest risk of developing a second cancer. The most common second cancer caused by chemotherapy is acute myeloid leukemia. What is AML, acute myeloid leukemia? Leukemias are blood cancers, just as a reminder. Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, which a lot of people know very well. They have an article on their website titled Cancer Vaccines, the types, how they work, and which cancers they treat. These are the approved therapeutic cancer vaccines. There's a prostate cancer vaccine, and it's called Provenge, is its brand name. Generic name is Cipolucil. It's used to treat people with prostate cancer that has metastasized or spread to other parts of the body. To make Provenge, we first remove some of your immune cells. We expose these cells to a molecule from prostate cancer cells. Then the cells are infused and put back into your body. Sounds amazing. Bladder cancer vaccines. Bacillus Calmette-Guérin therapy treats people with early stage bladder cancers. This vaccine is made from inactivated, not active, tuberculosis bacteria. This is a liquid drug that goes into your bladder through a catheter, a small tube placed in your urethra. I always love seeing the name Calmette. This vaccine for bladder cancers, Calmette, was commissioned by the Louis Pasteur Institute in the 1800s to produce the first rabies and smallpox vaccines. And the father of antivenom at the same time in the same lab in the 1800s. And described something called serum sickness, which is a reaction to the antivenom he used from king cobra's venoms that he developed. And then created vaccines at the same time, both of which are injections by the same way. And remember, a virus, rabies virus, smallpox virus, these are both viruses. Virus, by definition, they would have all known. It only has one definition in the 1800s, 1900s, and 2000s. The word virus only means venom. So if he created vaccines in a lab, having been given 10 king cobras, and creates anti-venom at the same time, if a virus is, by definition, the Latin word virus means poison, especially of snake's venom. Well, if that's true and has always been the truth, what would a vaccine be for anything that's called a virus? All vaccines would then be anti-venom. And Calmette invented anti-venom, which are called vaccines. Fun fact. Oh, by the way, I mentioned serum sickness. When he invented anti-venom from king cobra venom, and developed rabies virus vaccines, which are really anti-venom, and smallpox vaccines, which are really anti-venom to the viruses. Those are two are named, which are actually venoms called poisons. The definition of the word virus. That means all vaccines for viruses are actually anti-venoms. Okay, follow me here. He said there's actually a list of symptoms that occur on days 5 to 14 after administering antivenom. Every one of those listed side effects, including myocarditis, which Albert Calmette in the 1880s was the first to describe heart damage from antivenom that he called myocarditis, which you heard about for the first time ever in your lifetime during COVID-19's vaccine initiative and agenda. He described myocarditis and a whole bunch of other symptoms that are actually completely the same as the list of side effects to the COVID-19 vaccine. Should make you think. Correlation doesn't equal causation. Just because they all have the same side effects listed, serum sickness from anti-venom and COVID-19 vaccines having the same listed side effects, including myocarditis, doesn't mean they're the same. Okay. We'll let you guys live in ignorance, which they say ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is not always bliss. Ask any vaccine-injured parents of a child who's been vaccine-injured. Ask anybody who within 48 hours, 90% of all SIDS, babies found in their cribs, not breathing and dead the next morning, is within 48 hours of a vaccine for children. Is ignorance about the vaccines always bliss? And then imagine those same drug companies that know that is the case and is a published side effect. Imagine the fact that they would tell you, we're not responsible for that. It had nothing to do with the vaccines. Just because the time frame correlated, just because the list of side effects are correlated, does not equal causation. Okay. Remember that whole cause and effect? The only time cause and effect does not exist anymore at all in physics or science at all is only in medicine. Your doctor will give you a drug, prescribe you a drug, your kid will have seizures, and that doctor will tell you, just because your son or daughter never had a seizure before, but within 5 minutes of giving the drug I prescribed to you, does not mean that drug caused your son or daughter to have a seizure. Wait, what the hell is wrong with you? The most basic principle in science is the cause and effect. There is a cause which has an effect. You swallow a drug, give a drug, and that kid has a seizure, the drug caused the seizure. If he's never had a seizure before, never had that drug before, you give him the drug, they have a seizure, the damn drug caused the seizure. There's no other way around it. If your kid breathes every day, you put him in the crib, and he wakes up the next morning every single day except you gave a new vaccine, and within 48 hours, it's found dead in the crib, unable to breathe. Causation effect. Don't tell me correlation doesn't equal causation. Diabolical, disgusting, evil, in my opinion. All right, let's dive furthermore into chemotherapy here. Bladder cancer vaccine. Nadofaragene firadenovec, known as Adzilladrin, brand name, is a bladder cancer vaccine. Treats people with early stage bladder cancers that keep growing after the original BCG therapy above. It has a weakened virus, so they're introducing a new venom or virus or poison. That's the definition of the word virus. It has a weakened virus, a weakened poison that is changed in a lab to trigger an immune response in the bladder. Poisons do not help with cancer prevention. Although, and I said prevention. It does help with treatment. Obviously, they can poison people with chemotherapy and radiation and these vaccines, and it works for some. Melanoma vaccine, the T-VEC. Is a vaccine made from an oncolytic virus, a cancer-causing virus. Oncolytic viruses are viruses that can infect and kill cancer cells. We have the vaccine treats advanced melanoma that surgery cannot completely remove. It's made from a virus, a poison or venom, that has been changed in a lab in its genes. It's made from a virus that had changes made to its genes in a lab. Gene therapy, anybody? All right, this is livehospital.com. Do we spend enough on cancer research funding? Now, watch these numbers. They say global cancer research investment statistics. Big names in health say over $420 million has gone to cancer research thanks to donations. thank you for donating $420 million globally to cancer research. That is an asinine number and not even close to the reality. Like, not even close the reality globally. Not even close. Look at the three bullet points. They say there's over $1 billion spent every year on cancer research in the United States. Yes. Why are they saying that there's big names above? Look at the statement above. There's over $420 million has gone to cancer research thanks to... No, it hasn't. There's over $1 billion every year just in America alone. Where'd they get that $420 million number? Look at the next bullet point. A 5% yearly increase in funding for cancer research globally. Okay, well, if that includes America, that means it's over $1 billion globally because America spends $1 billion just annually by itself. Billions of dollars in grants managed by top cancer research groups. Yeah, well, let me show you something. After failing miserably to find a cure for cancer from 1913 to 2025, this is the American Cancer Society, total donations given to the American Cancer Society by American citizens and corporations alone, not globally, in just the last 15 years. Remember, I showed you the Healthline article. There is still no cure for cancer. The mission statement of the American Cancer Society is they are going to fund research since 1913 to cure cancer. That's all they're doing. Okay. Let's just look at the last 15 years. How much money have we donated in America the last 15 years to an organization who has failed their mission to come up with a cure for cancer? $25,050,099,422 have been donated to the American Cancer Society in the last 15 years alone to suck at finding a cure for cancer. Stop giving your damn money to cancer research. They're not looking for a cure. It makes more money for the pharmaceutical industry than any other thing ever, ever, ever. Last year alone, Keytruda, made by Merck, which is a cancer drug, literally generated $30 billion worldwide in 12 months. $30 billion. The second highest drug in the whole world last year didn't even sell $20 billion worth. It did half of what the cancer drug, the one, Keytruda, which did $30 billion in revenue last year. Ozempic was number two worldwide. It did $16 billion in sales. They're not going to find a cure for cancer. It's too profitable. All right. Just to remind you, $25 billion alone went to the American Cancer Society. That does not include the National Cancer Institute. It does not include the Susan G. Komen Foundation. It doesn't include all the other cancer foundations around the world. None of them. Just the American Cancer Society. $25 billion. If I gave you $25 billion for 30 years to come up with the solution of a health problem with any of your patients, do you think you could figure it out? Do you think you could hire the scientists, build the lab to find a cure? Do you think you could do it for $25 billion? Well, the medical profession can. Look, there currently isn't a cure for cancer. Still. All right, so if you're going to keep donating to the American Cancer Society or any of those other outfits, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Albert Einstein, not Dr. Artis. So if you want to still be insane, keep donating money to the cancer research foundations that for 100 years have repeatedly failed at providing you a cure for your disease. All right, so let's dive into what are some simple steps for cancer. This is a research study from Bentham Science. The evaluation of cell detaching effects of EDTA in combination with the drug, a chemotherapy drug called oxaliplatin, which is not very different than cisplatin I just highlighted a few seconds ago, for a possible application in HIPEC after cytoreductive surgery for cancer. Let's look and see. This is EDTA. You can get EDTA at the Dr. Artis Show right now. Okay. Which is a published cure, by the way, for all snake venoms. Completely destroys snake venom in the human body. Which is amazing. All right, so HT-29, this is the methods of the research studies. These specific cancer cells, HT-29 cells, were treated with EDTA only, that you can get at the Dr. Artist show. B, given oxaliplatin only. And then there's another group of the cells, they were given both agents, the chemotherapy drug and EDTA. When solely applied, EDTA does not exhibit any cell toxicity, nor does it add any toxicity to oxaliplatin. However, so EDTA doesn't cause any side effects. However, EDTA enhances the detachment of adherent colon cancer cells by removing up to 65% of the total initial cell amount. Wait, what? EDTA releases 65% of all the colon cancer cells in the cell line, in the lab, by itself. Oxaliplatin, chemotherapy, and EDTA display a significant additive effect. You put them both together, you see an additional effect. With only 30% of residual vitality cancer cells still detected in the initial well. So they put 100% of cancer cells, they put EDTA and oxaliplatin in there, and they see only 30% of the cancer cells survive. 70% of them died. Which, if you go above in this paragraph, it says EDTA by itself dislodged 65%. Okay. When you add EDTA and the chemotherapy drug, now it's releasing 70% of those cells, which is only a 5% difference. EDTA by itself, 65%, which means the chemotherapy drug only has a 5% benefit. EDTA by itself was 65% of all cancer cells released in the cancer cell line. Isn't that amazing? EDTA by itself. All right, so anybody out there who has a loved one who's been diagnosed with colon cancer, you better tell your oncologist to get EDTA into the mouth of your loved one, and you get it at the Dr. Artist show. And show them this research study. The link is at the bottom of the screen. Go download the PowerPoint, and then copy and paste that link at the bottom of the screen in the screenshot. Right there. You see it? It's right there. Sorry, it's right there. Sorry, I'm pointing the wrong way. Right there. EurekaSelect.com. The article's right there. Print it out. Go give it to your oncologist. Then go get the $40, $50 EDTA at the Dr. Artist show. In conclusion, our data suggests EDTA's potential ability to remove microscopical tumor cell clusters from the peritoneum of your intestines and possibly act as a supplementary agent in high-PEC procedures and chemotherapy. While adding EDTA to the conventional procedures may significantly decrease the risk of this reoccurrence of cells of cancer. Further in vivo and clinical trials are required to evaluate the effect. It's already worked in the lab. I think you might want to try EDTA. Colorectal cancer, number one killer of young adults in America, just disclosed, sent out to the mainstream media just 3 weeks ago. All right, now this is drcalipay.com. 90% reduction in cancer mortality after chelation with EDTA. That you can get at the Dr. Artist show. Mortality from cancer was reduced 90%. Death from cancer was reduced 90% during an 18-year follow-up of 59 patients treated with EDTA. Only one of the 59 treated patients died of cancer, while 30 of 172 non-treated control subjects, those with cancer who did not get EDTA, that was 17% of them died in the same time period. Death from atherosclerosis was also reduced in the EDTA group, and there's a reason for that. The hardening of your arteries, the plaque accumulating in your arteries, is created by calcium toxicity. Too much calcium, and EDTA removes excess calcium. Only one patient died in 18 years. But those who did not get EDTA, 17% of them died. A 90% reduction in death from cancers. Well, I don't know about you. If you're diagnosed with cancer and you decide to go get treatment, why are you seeking treatment? Is it because you want to live? Or is it because you want to die? Well, if you want to live, you might want to add EDTA to your treatment protocol at a bare minimum based on the research. And your oncologist should know this. And if they don't know it, go tell them, please. Show them the studies. Statistical analysis showed EDTA chelation to be the only significant difference between those who got EDTA and those who didn't to explain the marked reduction in cancer mortality. It's the only thing that they could even consider. No dietary things, not where they live, not environmental, not relationships, not religion. There's only one thing that they can define that could be responsible for the 90% reduction in death in 18 years. 18 years. The medical profession says a successful treatment of cancer is a patient living 5 years from diagnosis. This is an 18-year follow-up. 99% of the people lived to 18 years. I don't know. Are you only trying to live 5 years or 18 plus years? EDTA is well recognized for lead toxicity. Okay, this is one of those harmful substances in your environment. We already told you they've already listed as the cause of cancer. EDTA also removes other toxins that you are exposed to in your environment, such as heavy metals, nutritional elements such as iron, which promote cancer by catalyzing free radical pathology. Okay, stay with me here. Just out of this research study and out of this publication, did you know that iron increases your risk of developing cancer? Iron, which promotes cancers. Do you know how many people in America are diagnosed and around the world as anemic and are told to take iron supplements? How many of you knew that iron promotes cancer cell growth? The things you learn when you read. Lead from automobile exhaust, petrochemicals, form where? From wear of automobile tires, not form, from. Cadmium and other carcinogens are present in higher concentrations adjacent to heavily traveled automobile highways. These substances cause cancer and potentiate other carcinogens, like increase your risk of developing cancer. EDTA, 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 EDTA. Proven in cancer cell culture lines and labs, and 18-year study there with patients diagnosed with cancer. 90% increase in lifespan to 18 years. But if you don't do EDTA, a 90% less success rate in life and living. This is Springer Nature from 2015. Chemo preventative effects of licorice and its components. Remember, this is a simple ways to prevent cancer, but you're going to learn that these same things have already been applied to people who are getting current treatment for cancer, that it works to help reduce their death and mortality and improve their likelihood of overcoming cancer. All right. The anti-cancer effects of licorice have been at least partially attributed to its ability to act as an antioxidant. So they know that it reduces antioxidant activity or oxidative stress. Okay. So there's a specific type of mice called C57BL mice. BALB mice is how they abbreviate it. These are those little white mice they do research studies on. Okay. So they had these little white mice and they gave them AOM/DSS, a chemical which induces colon cancer. Okay. So they have these little white mice. They inject them with a drug or chemical called AOM/DSS. And that induces the animal now to develop colon cancer specifically. Now, I just want you to know, in medical research, pharmaceutical research, if they know they can inject a chemical into an animal and it will cause specifically colon cancer, wouldn't you like to know what those chemicals are? And are those chemicals in your water supply? Are they in your food supply? Are they in your vaccines? Are they in your chemtrails that you're exposed to and inhaling? They know chemicals do it, and every drug's a chemical. Just saying, they know they can inject these mice with a chemical that specifically causes colon cancer to develop. And just a few weeks ago, they announced that colon cancer is the number one killing cancer in young adults in America. Okay, how's it specifically showing up there? All right, well, you might want to go look up what AOMDSS is and its mechanism of action and where it's sourced, what kind of chemical that is. But that's not the purpose of this. They just know they can induce chemicals. Chemicals can create specific cancers. They do it in mice all the time. And mice have the same genes, every gene humans do. And I quote, if it happens to a mouse, it'll happen to a human, end quote. Those are medical research lab specialists. If it happens to a mouse, it'll happen to a human. So they gave this drug. It caused cancer in a rat or mouse. And then they treated that mouse after developing colon cancer from harmful substances in the environment that were injected into it. They then treated the mouse with licorice root at 5, 15, and 30 milligrams per kilogram of body weight. Reduced colon tumor formation, decreased expression of proliferating cell nuclear antigens, beta catenin, COX-2, and INOS, nitrogen oxygen species, and concomitant suppression of colon pro-inflammatory cytokines and chemokines were observed by licorice being given at those various amounts. Licorice-treated animals survived longer, and licorice also inhibited liver metastasis. So the colon cancer did not metastasize to the liver in those animals treated with licorice root, induced by intrasplenic injection of these white mice with CT-26 cells. So they know they can create metastatic cancer by injecting these cells into the animals that already have colon cancer. They can inject CT-26 cells in the mouse to create, via the spleen, liver metastasis. But licorice blocked that too. Well, if you're worried about metastasizing cancers, you might want to get on licorice, which, by the way, is the second ingredient in our foreign protein cleanse, which I'll highlight at the end of this. We already brought up EDTAs at the Dr. Artist Show. Do you want to live longer with cancer, prevent cancer? You might want to get on EDTA. Licorice root, it's the second ingredient in our foreign protein cleanse, and then I'm going to show you the first ingredient in the protein cleanse right after this. Results of one study suggest that the administration of licorice might be beneficial in counteracting the side effects of cisplatin therapy in cancer patients, which is chemotherapy. What? Licorice root can counteract the chemotherapy side effects I've already highlighted. This idea was based on the finding that oral administration, swallowing a supplemental form like foreign protein cleanse of licorice alone, significantly suppressed the growth of solid tumors in CT-26 cell inoculated mice without any obvious side effects or toxicity. Licorice root blocked it, the growth of tumors, when they injected cancerous tumor cells into mice. And they drank the licorice root. When combined with chemotherapy called cisplatin, licorice inhibited cisplatin-induced kidney and liver damage. I already highlighted the side effects of chemotherapy. Licorice root blocks liver and kidney side effects of chemotherapy. The repeated oral administration, when they kept doing the licorice root prior to cisplatin treatment, it prevented cisplatin-mediated increase in blood levels of nitric oxide in the tissue lipid peroxidation levels and restored the depleted reduced glutathione levels in the tissues, which glutathione is the most powerful antioxidant in your body to prevent worsening or any disease from forming. Licorice root before chemotherapy treatment prevented these negative side effects of chemotherapy that suppress your immune system. Licorice suppressed both the generation of nitric oxide and prostaglandin PGE2 and also attenuated the expression of intranitrous oxide stimulation and COX-2 induced by all the fancy terms here, lipopolysaccharide LPS in various cancer cell lines. Licorice inhibited the LPS-induced production of inflammatory cytokines, reducing inflammation. It lowers interleukin-1, interleukin-6 levels in various cancer cell lines and was able to protect these mice from developing endotoxin shock from chemo. Licorice root blocks the side effects of chemo. Licorice inhibited human bladder cancer cell proliferation. Anybody with bladder cancer? Oh my God. Licorice root inhibits human bladder cancer proliferation in a concentration-dependent manner. The more licorice root you take, the lower the development of bladder cancer cells. Evidence suggests that licorice inhibited proliferation by increasing the levels of intracellular ROS because the effects could be attenuated by treatment with the glutathione precursor and antioxidant N-acetylcysteine, which is also at the Dr. Show. You should be on N-acetylcysteine. It helps the liver produce more glutathione. It's required. So does selenium, which I'm going to highlight here in a second. EDTA, licorice, labellia, I'm going to go over here in a second. N-acetylcysteine you're now learning about in this quote. Man, but licorice, how exciting is this? These results agree with a previous report in which licorice inhibited proliferation, increased levels of reactive oxygen species, and reduced apoptosis or sorry, induced cell death of cancer cells called T24 cells. This compound also induced mitochondrial dysfunction, caspase 3 activation of cancer cells, and PARP cleavage, and caused endoplasmic reticulum stress dependent apoptosis. The cancer cells died from licorice root. It created mitochondrial dysfunction in the cells of the cancer cells, and they die as a result. Licorice root does that. All right, now let's dive into Labellia. Labellia is the first ingredient in our foreign protein cleanse. And I just have to stay here before I even get to foreign protein cleanse. Licorice root you're learning about here. Labellia, these are the two highest volume plant extracts in foreign protein cleanse. We were doing an interview, the Healing for the Ages group, me, Dr. Group, Dr. Ely, Dr. Schmidt, with Mike Adams, the health ranger, who's been in the media a lot longer than I have. Just last month, we were doing an interview with him. And he was showing up his green drink he makes on his ranch down there in Austin, Texas. And he goes, he just happened to say it out loud. He goes, you know what my favorite supplement is that I make sure I have every single day, and I will for life, is foreign protein cleanse, which is a formulation I came up with to address all the worries of COVID. Labellia and licorice root are the first two ingredients in there. He says, I put it in my green drink every single day, and he's drinking it on the screen. And he was just applauding our efforts to make sure we had an organic plant-based product that had these two ingredients in there as their primary thing. So you might want to add this as a value to your own personal health and nutritional regimen. Molecular mechanisms of Labellia. This comes from Current Issues in Molecular Biology, 2025, last year. Molecular mechanisms of Labellia extract in breast cancer, which I just showed you in 2025 was the number one new reason for cases of cancer last year. Labellia, we demonstrated that its ethanol extract exerts potent anti-breast cancer activity by inducing reactive oxygen species dependent mitochondrial death in breast cancer cells, a mechanism confirmed via rescue experiments with the antioxidant N-acetylcysteine. Labellia and N-acetylcysteine, anybody? Cancer cells often exhibit higher basal levels of ROS, reactive oxygen species, and a compromised antioxidant capacity. Compromised antioxidant. Glutathione is the antioxidant, and you have a compromised lower ability to produce these antioxidants, which licorice, Labellia, and N-acetylcysteine restore, rendering them more vulnerable to further oxidative insults. By elevating ROS beyond a tolerable threshold, Labellia appears to selectively push cancer cells towards death, called apoptosis, a strategy employed by various successful natural chemotherapeutics such as paclitaxel, a more natural chemo from a tree. I had to go look that up. I was like, oh, they remember, everything they do in drug development comes from things they find in nature. You might want to just trust nature, like the plants, Labellia, licorice. You might want to just trust it. Our Western blot analysis normalized against total protein levels conclusively demonstrates that Labellia treatment leads to a significant downregulation of epidermal growth factor rate, which is a epidermal growth rate, skin cancer, organ cancer of any kind, epidermal growth rate. Epidermal growth factor rate, Labellia drops it. So it slows down the growth rate of cancer. It also downregulates PI3K, AKT, and mTOR phosphorylation, which are all pathways for accelerated cancer growth. This potent suppression of a critical pro-survival axis for cancer cells is a key component of Labellia's anti-tumor effect. Ask your doctor if Labellia and licorice root are right for you, because foreign protein cleanse is. I cannot tell you how exciting it is to share this information with you, because your loved ones or yourself are being minimally given hope by the current conventional medical treatments of cancer. But if you added EDTA, if you added licorice, if you added Labellia, if you added N-acetylcysteine and selenium, I'm about to talk about here in a minute, it's already proven in medical research study to enhance your probability of living longer and beating your cancer. So I don't care how you get this information to them, please get it to them. My goal is to transform lives, extend lives, reduce the burden of toxicity and stress and suffering from diseases and treatments. Lobelia triggered the activation of the TP53 tumor suppressor pathway. So there's something in your immune system called TP53 tumor suppressor. It suppresses tumor formation. Lobelia triggered the activation of that pathway. In your body, God has created something inside of you called the TP53 tumor suppressor pathway. Lobelia turns it on. Chemotherapy doesn't turn it on. It shuts it off. It is well established that oxidative stress can act as a potent trigger for TP53 activation and can also disrupt receptor tyrosine kinase signaling like epidermal growth factor rate. Thus, we propose a cohesive mechanistic model where lobelia-induced ROS accumulation acts as a pivotal stress signal that delivers a double hit to the cancer cells. It simultaneously, lobelia does, deactivates P13K and AKT survival engine while activating the TP53-driven cell cancer death machinery. The goal is to kill cancer cells. That's what chemotherapy and radiation is for. Lobelia activates the immune system, cell death for cancer death, cancer cell death machinery. Lobelia does. In conclusion, this study provides a comprehensive validation of the anti-cancer effects of lobelia against breast cancer. The most diagnosed cancers last year was breast cancer. Our findings position lobelia not just as a promising traditional remedy, but also as a mechanistically well-defined natural product candidate for the development of novel breast cancer therapeutics. What? Ask your oncologist when they tell you have breast cancer, or that you have BRCA1, BRCA2 gene that says you're going to get cancer. Ask them if lobelia is right for you, because it is. Ask them if foreign protein cleanse is right for you, because it is. Now let's go to the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, Vitamin C and Cancer Prevention, the epidemiological evidence. Epidemiological evidence, the development of diseases, the study of diseases. The epidemiological evidence of a protective effect of vitamin C for non-hormone-dependent cancers is strong. So not hormone-related, not estrogen-dominant-related, but harmful substances in your environment-induced cancers. There's evidence of a protective effect of vitamin C for those cancers. Of the 46 such studies in which a dietary vitamin C index was calculated, 33 found a significant protection, with high intake conferring approximately a twofold protective effect compared with low intake of vitamin C. Of 29 additional studies that assessed fruit intake, 21 found significant protection from eating citrus fruits that have vitamin C. For cancers of the esophagus, larynx, oral cavity, and pancreas, evidence for a protective effect of vitamin C or some component in fruit is strong and consistent. I don't know. Are 21 research studies enough for you? For cancers of the stomach, rectum, breast, and cervix, there's also strong evidence for vitamin C. Several recent lung cancer studies found significant protective effects of vitamin C or of foods that are better sources of vitamin C than of beta-carotene, vitamin A. Anti-cancer research. Wow, that sounds like a really respectable medical journal. They have a research study on there titled "The Effect of High-Dose Vitamin C Combined with Anti-Cancer Treatment for Breast Cancer Cells." So nothing was more diagnosed last year in cancer categories than breast cancer. But when they treat breast cancer, they have found there's a positive effect of vitamin C being added to the conventional chemotherapy, radiation, immunotherapy, and surgery. Combination of high-dose vitamin C and anti-cancer drugs had an additional inhibitory effect on the growth of breast cancer cell lines. Next, it was determined whether the combination of high-dose vitamin C and anti-cancer drugs could induce growth inhibition of breast cancer cells. Could it stop them from growing? One treatment with vitamin C did not significantly increase the efficacy of the cancer drug called arabulin mesylate to inhibit growth of breast cancer cells. However, two treatments with vitamin C produced a marked decrease in the cell viability of those same breast cancer cells when compared to the cancer drug alone called arabulin mesylate, which is a very common drug used for breast cancer treatment. Holy crap, what? When they combined the two of them, vitamin C did not have a beneficial effect. However, vitamin C alone produced a marked decrease in the amount of breast cancer cells when compared to the drug they use for breast cancer alone. Beep, beep. punch the red button, sound the alarm. Oh my God, do you know anybody that's being treated for breast cancer? It is, was only the most number one diagnosed cancer last year. They're most likely being given arabulin mesylate, which doesn't reduce cancer cells in the breast. But vitamin C does alone. They even give you the doses. And it's in a dose-dependent manner, they say. Similarly, another type of cancer cell growth was dramatically inhibited by high-dose vitamin C combined with arabulin mesylate. So a different breast cancer cell line, MCF-7 cell growth, when they combined vitamin C and those together, they did see a reduction. When taken together, the combined treatment with high-dose vitamin C and anti-cancer agents did further facilitate anti-tumor activity towards breast cancer cells relative to the single agent. So they just used the drug. It was better with vitamin C than just with the drug, the single agent. Thus, the results indicate that high-dose vitamin C can be a useful adjunctive agent with a variety of anti-cancer drugs for managing different types of breast cancer with minimal damage to normal cells. That's a lot different than damage to normal cells by chemotherapy and radiation. High-dose vitamin C, that'd be 20,000 milligrams of vitamin C plus a day. High-dose vitamin C had anti-proliferative effect on anti-cancer drug-resistant cells. So now they're going to go, okay, we have cancer cell lines. We gave them drugs. The drugs had no effect. These cancer cells were resistant to the deadly toxic effects of cancer drugs, FDA approved. They used vitamin C, and vitamin C worked when the cells were drug-resistant. High-dose vitamin C significantly inhibited the cell growth of breast cell cancer cells called TAMR. And then the drug that they say it was resistant to, doxorubicin-resistant MCF7 breast cancer cells and LTED MCF-7 as effectively as that of MCF-7 cells. So when they used the drug and the drug, these cells were resistant to them, vitamin C killed them alone, but the drugs, they were resistant to the drugs. In addition, anti-proliferative, anti-growth rate effects of high-dose vitamin C were also observed, and doxorubicin, a medical chemotherapy drug, cancer drug, resistant form of these cancer cells called MDA-MB-231 cells, and another drug-resistant cell line called doxataxel-resistant MCF7 cells, breast cancer cells, as effectively as an MDA-MB-231 cells. Vitamin C also worked against those drug-resistant cancer cell lines. Therefore, these results indicate that high-dose vitamin C has a selective anti-growth effect on chemotherapy-resistant breast cancer cells. So if you or a loved one were diagnosed with breast cancer, you're receiving chemotherapy and it ain't working. High-dose vitamin C does. And it is highly selective of breast cancer cells. It says high-dose vitamin C has a selective anti-proliferative effect. And when your oncologist tells you, when you ask for high-dose vitamin C in your loved one or yourself, and they go, there's no evidence or research on that. Yes, there is. It's right here. Download, publish it, and then hand it to them and say, doc, ignorance is not always bliss. You should follow the Dr. Artie Show, because he'll dig up those research studies. High-dose vitamin C also exerts anti-tumor activity by increasing the amount of reactive oxygen species in cancer cells without meaningful toxicities in normal cells. There's no side effects to other healthy cells. The current study aimed to demonstrate the in vitro, in the lab, anti-cancer activity of high-dose vitamin C and high-dose vitamin C combined with conventional treatment for breast cancer. High-dose vitamin C suppressed the proliferation of these various breast cancer cell lines. And maybe you, or a loved one of yours, knows which cells they have and what type of breast cancer they have. So vitamin C worked against MDA-MB-231 breast cancer cells, MCF-7 breast cancer cells, and SKBR3 cancer cell lines. The combination of anti-cancer drugs with high-dose vitamin C showed a stronger inhibition of the growth rate of breast cancer cells than a single anti-cancer drug. I repeat, vitamin C in combination with chemotherapy was more effective in all cases, all cell lines of breast cancer, than using the drug by itself, which 100% of you are only getting the drugs for breast cancer. Moreover, high-dose vitamin C also inhibited the growth rate of tamoxifen, doxorubicin, and doxataxel-resistant breast cancer cells. Therefore, these findings indicate that high-dose vitamin C is a promising anti-cancer drug for breast cancer without meaningful toxicity. This study also showed additional anti-tumor activity when combining high-dose vitamin C with conventional treatment. The combination of high-dose vitamin C and anti-cancer drugs showed an additional inhibition effect on the growth rate of breast cancer cells over a single anti-cancer drug in a dose-dependent manner. The more vitamin C, the better, which is consistent with previous research studies and reports of a synergistic, combined, or additive tumoricidal suicide of tumor cells action of vitamin C with a variety of anti-cancer drugs. The additional effect on chemotherapy-resistant breast cancer cells observed in this current study indicates that high-dose vitamin C has a selective and independent anti-growth effect on breast cancer cells. Since most advanced breast cancers ultimately develop, listen to this, everybody, since most advanced breast cancers being diagnosed ultimately develop resistance to their anti-cancer drug therapies, high-dose vitamin C could be a new strategy for overcoming such resistance. They're telling you most people who are treated for breast cancer, whatever drug they select for breast cancer, they will ultimately, their breast cancer cells will become drug resistant, meaning it will no longer work. But vitamin C will work if you just add it to the treatment. Oh my God, we should be screaming this from the rooftops. In conclusion, based on previous reports that high-dose vitamin C exerts anti-tumor activity by increasing the amount of reactive oxidative stress in the cells without meaningful toxicities to normal cells, no death to healthy cells, the current study confirmed the in vitro, in the lab, anti-cancer activity of high-dose vitamin C and demonstrated a similar efficacy in treatment-resistant breast cancer cells. You're welcome. Furthermore, an additive anti-cancer effect when combined with conventional agents for cancer treatment was also observed in the current study, offering important evidence that high-dose vitamin C is a promising therapeutic drug. Linus Pauling is celebrating in his grave right now. He's so excited. All right, now these are going to be some of the last things we're going to discuss here on today's show. Selenium. This is from Frontiers in Oncology Medical Journal. Oncology means the study of cancer. Frontiers in Cancer Study. Selenium and cancer management. Selenium can prevent the metabolic activity of certain chemical carcinogens. Okay, all of us are exposed to chemicals that cause cancer. I mentioned earlier today, statin drugs, levothyroxine, are just two that cause cancer. They're known carcinogens. Selenium can prevent the effect of these chemical carcinogens to cause cancer. So if you have these drugs, you might want to get on selenium and antagonize their metabolites of these chemicals, thereby inhibiting their cancer-causing effects of chemical carcinogens, including tobacco smoke. You might want to start supplementing selenium if you're smoking commercial tobacco, which I don't recommend. But organic tobacco, I don't care. In vitro experiments have shown that selenium reduces the activity of hydroxylases that activate carcinogens, such as aryl hydroxylase. By more than 50%, selenium detoxes the ability of these chemicals to cause cancer and weakens the metabolism of PAH compounds, which are then turned in the human body into cancer-causing chemicals. So anybody out there worried about environmental substances, harmful substances in your environment causing you to develop cancer, you might want to start swallowing selenium, damn it. And you can get it at the Dr. Artist Show. Finley and his team found that the higher the dose of selenium added to the diet of rats, the lower number of aberrant crypt focus of colon cancer in those rats. The results also confirms that selenium can inhibit the tumorigenesis caused by chemical cancer-causing compounds. They've already done this in animals. We'll inject a chemical. It definitely caused cancer. Inject a chemical. It caused cancer again in another animal. We inject that same chemical. It causes cancer again. Now let's give them selenium and inject that cancer-causing chemical. Oh, wait. It didn't cause cancer. Welcome to the Dr. Artist Show. Organic selenium compounds have attracted a lot of attention in the field of cancer research. Not a little, oncologists. A lot of attention. Selenides, diselenides, selenocyanates, seleno amino acid derivatives, methyl selenoic acid, seleno heterocyclic compounds, and a variety of other selenium containing compounds have all been studied for cancer research. These organic selenium compounds demonstrate potent anti-cancer and chemo preventative properties by engaging a multitude of action mechanisms, including reduction of oxidative stress, induction of cell death of cancer cells, and enhancement of chemotherapy drug activity. Selenium even makes chemotherapy drugs work better. You can get it at the Dr. Oro Show, by the way. These researchers consistently illustrated that selenium amino acid derivatives such as selenomethionine and methyl selenocysteine are capable of stimulating cell death of cancer cells called apoptosis in a broad spectrum of human solid tumors. How many of you know anybody recommended to take selenium when they were diagnosed with cancerous tumors anywhere in their body? Ovaries, fibroids, polyps in their colon, brain tumors. This pro-apoptic effect of a significant mechanism in the fight against cancer as it targets the elimination of malignant cells. Selenium does. Now, I want to highlight up there at the top, it says, these researchers have consistently illustrated that selenium amino acid derivatives, such as selenomethionine, S-E-M-E-T, are capable of stimulating cell death of cancer cells in a broad spectrum. I want to highlight selenomethionine. Selenium amino acid derivatives, such as selenomethionine, look at that word, selenomethionine, kill cancer cells. This is our selenium at the Dr. Artist Show, and I just want to highlight the only type of selenium I put in there was selenomethionine. You're welcome. MSA is another form of selenium, oxidized form of methyl selenol converted from seleno amino acids. These multiple studies have proven that this form of selenium is an excellent anti-cancer agent against a variety of cancer models, including lung cancer, breast cancer, melanoma, and especially prostate cancer. Selenium nanoparticles are effective against a wide range of cancers, including colon, liver, breast, prostate, and lung cancers. In 2010, a pioneering study by Shakabe and colleagues revealed that selenium exerted a toxic effect on the fibrosarcoma cell line. Remarkably, these nanoparticles of selenium were found to impede the invasive and metastatic potential of cancer cells by modulating the expression levels, only your oncologist is going to know this term, of MMP-2, a key enzyme involved in metastasis of cancers. In a significant study, Kong and colleagues delved into the cytotoxic effects of selenium on the prostate cancer cell line, and they found that selenium nanoparticles effectively curbed the growth of any of these cancer cells by triggering a cascade of caspase-mediated cell death called apoptosis of prostate cell cancer cells. So I just want to show you this statement. Selenium can be synergistically used with anti-cancer drugs for cancer therapy, thereby enhancing their anti-cancer activity and minimizing toxic effects. Researcher Yang and his team found that this cancer drug, adriamycin, alone destroys 20% of cancer cells. But watch this. While selenium combined with the drug on the left destroyed more than 50% of cancer cells. Now, I don't think you have to be a mathematician, but I'm just going to ask you. What do you think anybody diagnosed with cancer, prostate cancer even, any cancer? If I told you we can either give you a drug that can kill 20% of your cancer, or we can give you a drug with a supplement from the Dr. Artist Show called selenium, that'll kill 50% of the cancer cells, which one would you pick? Would you want to just kill 20%? Or do you like 50%? During breast cancer treatment, anastrozole, another drug, is used to inhibit the growth of enzyme aromatase, which causes side effects such as bone fractures and osteoporosis. These can be prevented by combining anastrozole with selenium. You're welcome. Now, that summarizes our research studies here. Simple steps to preventing and improving conventional treatment of cancers. Here's our EDTA at the Dr. Artist Show. Go get it. Here's our foreign protein cleanse, highlighting the two first named plant extracts we put in there that every one of you should be drinking every day. We drink it every single day. Foreign proteins. All viruses are foreign proteins to the human body. That's why it's called foreign protein cleanse. But you learned here that labellia and licorice root in this research study prevent cell growth of cancers and enhance drug treatment for cancers. Here's our immune C. Also, anybody being treated for cancer, make sure you get on high-dose intravenous vitamin C therapy. But you should be taking immune C every day. And here is our selenomethionine source, selenium, already proven to help reduce growth rates of all cancer cell lines. I'm Dr. Artist. This is the Dr. Artist Show. I hope you found this interesting. I know there's a lot of people in this world with cancer, so I know you know somebody with cancer. Please forward this to anybody you know and love. I'm Dr. Artist, and this is our book, Moving Beyond the COVID-19 Lies, where I dive into how COVID-19 vaccines increase your risk of developing cancer, the exact mechanisms, and then how to reduce the risk of developing them. And the information in this podcast should be combined with the information you got in that book. I am Dr. Brian Artis. Thank you for joining us today. I hope you have a great week, and we will see you next time on The Dr. Artis Show. And remember, you can get this entire PowerPoint at the Resources tab of The Dr. Artis Show. Download it, save it, share it. God bless. Thanks for watching this week's episode. Visit thedrartistshow.com/follow for my official social media channels and free healing resources. Beware of fraud accounts. Neither I nor my company will ever ask you for money, crypto, or personal information through your social media or DMs. Like this video and share with a friend. And if you're not already, subscribe and follow along so you don't miss any updates from me, the only real Dr. Brian Artis. And remember, nature always wins.